Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
No need to worry and no need to rush about anything. No need to force a deal. When the deal is good, when it meant to be, everything will pencil out. And when I under it, I never really force things to make sense. When it's good, it will make sense on its own.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed, and today we are joined by Linda Lim. Linda is joining us from Pasadena, California. She's the founder and CEO of Essential Element Capital, which is focused on multifamily fund management and asset management. Their current portfolio consists of over $100 million in assets under management with over 400 doors of multifamily between Arizona, New Mexico, and California. Linda, can you tell us a little bit more about your background and what you're currently focused on?
Yes, my background is finance. So I have my finance degree and been in finance for over 30 years, starting with Wall Street, stockbroker, investment banking, commercial banking. My last position with American Corporation is I underwrite commercial lending, including audit, relationship, and all of that, prior to doing development overseas, actually. I develop resort, like 500 queen and up, from the owner's side that work together with hotel management such as Langham, Ritz-Carlton, and all that. From new development hotel resort, then come back to United States. Then using my license in real estate, starting from buying and selling, then flipping, new development in California and all that, prior to starting out of state multifamily, which is in Arizona. So that's pretty much in a nutshell my background. Finance all the way through.
Gotcha. So current focus is multifamily in Arizona. That makes sense. This is a bit of a dated question. So let me say we're recording this in the first quarter of 2024. Are you all actively buying in Arizona right now?
Yes, I'm actively buying, underwriting.
Okay. The reason I ask is because obviously Arizona is more than one market, but I know that there are markets in Arizona where I'm not invested there, but what I hear and what is reported by places like the Wall Street Journal is that the apartment market especially overheated when it peaked in 2021 and early 22. So we've seen not necessarily oversupply. You'd probably be in a better position than me to discuss that. But I've heard that we're seeing rent declines right now in places like Phoenix due to what's been happening in the economy the last couple of years. You're underwriting deals currently. Is that what you're seeing in the deals that you're underwriting there?
You're absolutely correct. I see a shift in the market. It's getting harder right now to find a deal that pencil. And it's just a little bit different than a couple of years ago or even last year. Right now, in my portfolio, before we didn't have any problem. We don't even have any promotion or any other bonus or stuff like that to attract tenants. Right now, the market is slightly different. Even though my occupancy in the asset that I manage is still really good, however, I can see the shift. And I'm in the new development as well. And currently, I have a project in New Mexico, which is Rio Rancho. And the market that I know is shift. Rio Rancho right now is pretty much open as far as the demand on housing. Well, Phoenix, when I went to the city, they do have a lot of development lineup. So I think, yes, it's a little bit oversupply in the certain area, like Phoenix itself. And I have Phoenix, Mesa area, and Glendale and stuff like that, and Tucson.
How is that affecting the deals that you're underwriting currently?
It's affecting as far as finding the right deal to invest because of interest rate as well. So I kind of like shift my model a little bit instead of usually what I did is 50, 100 and up underwriting those kind of deals. Right now, I get into new development, which is smaller deal. If I see duplex with lots in that nature, you have a cash flow still going on. Well, you also have a potential of lot that you'd be able to build to fourplex or sixplex or something like that. I get into something like that. So you have a cash flow, but then you'd be able to build at the same time. To me, my underwriting is a little bit different than just going in with multifamily with 50 and 100 at the moment because of the rate in lending.
I want to make sure I understand you correctly. Are you saying that new construction multifamily numbers look better right now than buying existing for a value add play?
No, this is what I'm doing. I kind of like shift a little bit. I don't go to a bigger project anymore, like 50 or 100 and up, just because it's hard to find something that pencil. Even new development, there's people like developer that have project lineup right now in the city. I think this is a little bit oversupply. So I went in and looking for easy to build smaller projects, if that makes sense, than the bigger one.
Gotcha. What size deals are you finding most interesting right now?
I got a mix for 1 to 4 with potential lot that I can build as long as the zoning. That's the tricky part too. Zoning has two permits to build over than 4. It's very niche, but I find that the most lucrative at this point. And I'll be able to mix the lending from residential lending, but then being creative later on when we build on the other side and submit permit and all the drawing using the creative lending, building fourplex, sixplex on top of that residential lending. So it's kind of like you gotta have to be creative because lending is the issue right now. So as we know, 1 to 4 already residential, the rate is a little bit different than we go to commercial. When we're buying the 1 to 4, we can use a residential loan. But then if the lot permit and the zone permit, we can build fourplex, sixplex on that lot. And we're going in with residential, then we can switch with commercial and build on the other side while we're still getting the cash flow from the residential, if that makes sense. Have to be creative. Right now is the time to buy. I believe so. However, maybe you need to see what makes sense and get a better creative as far as lending and projects.
Linda, your focus on fund management and asset management, how much are you engaged specifically in investor relations?
Oh, 100%. I came from private equity and investment banking and all that. And I built my portfolio or network pretty much organic. It's been 30 years and it's just a lot of caring. And right now, to me, is scaling. I just decided that recently just because of I like to do my investor relation myself. I like connection, and that's how I built my credibility as well. So I don't take too many projects just because of that as well. That's because of I'm focusing in client relation. And eventually, though, I have to find a system that be able to accommodate both. I just have to figure out how I'm be able to be creative and still do what I like to do, which is connection and all that, but scaling also at the same time. It's a challenge, but I kind of figured out how, and then just a matter of execution.
We are not in a position to share investing opportunities in this podcast, Linda. So I'm only asking about investment offerings that have closed, terminated, ended. When was the last time that you or your general partnerships made an investment offering to passive investors for a deal in Arizona?
The syndication that I did the last one was beginning of last year. However, after that, I have a couple of JV. But if you're asking me about the offering that I was giving that to accredited investor, it's beginning of last year, which is in Arizona, Phoenix.
Beginning of 2023. So what I wanted to ask, and it may not be relevant, feel free to tell me to move on to the next question, Linda, but I'm wondering how much investor sentiment has changed for value-add multifamily in Arizona in the past year. Are you seeing that investors are just generally less interested? Are they needing more upside in the deal to justify what they see to be greater risk? What's that conversation like right now?
Yes, I think the money's still there. We have a lot of money, but most of them, especially the institution or the big money's waiting in the sideline. And we all know about this. And the conversation has to change a little bit because seeing the news, people talk about it, and seeing a couple of deals went south, doing capital call and things like that. I think right now, luckily in my portfolio, I don't have that any deal that I have to do things like that. But I do have sympathy to people who went through that and just acknowledge that with my investor and have open conversation why that thing happened. And in any investment, there's always risk. Not having right now with us, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen in the future. So educating the investor right now is a time to having more and more conversation actually with the investor towards to having patient explaining the what the thing happened or might happen also in our project. But trust is everything. The more we communicate with them, the more we're being open, even though it doesn't happen with us, and entertain if they have question, even slightly doubt that we're trying to take time to explain to them. I think that's the key. Because eventually I'm coming up is going to have a new project explaining about what's going to happen with my new project and when we're going to start. I also explaining the situation of the market. It does need more time to explain and answer the question and try to settle the doubt rather than in comparison to probably last year.
We were talking, Linda, before the interview started. You were at the Best Ever Conference at the beginning of 2023. Fantastic conference. The conference this year is April 9th to the 12th. Best Ever listeners, this is my opportunity for a shameless plug. It's besteverconference.com in Salt Lake City, April 9th to the 12th. There is a discount code available to podcast listeners. You can get 15% off your tickets if you use the code CONNECT, CONNECT, all caps, to get 15% off of tickets for the Best Ever Conference. We can talk about more about the conference in a moment, Linda, the one upcoming, but the sentiment in early 2023 The phrase we kept hearing was stay alive until 2025. So hold your breath for 2 years. It's good to hear, Linda, that you don't have any debt that is ballooning right now or deals that need to be recapitalized. Neither do I. I also only invest in Cincinnati, Ohio, a really solid Midwestern market that just doesn't experience the peaks or the troughs of a place like Arizona. But I'm curious if the sentiment you heard at the conference last year is what you have been experiencing since then and what you are expecting for the next year. Survive until 25, is that really what's going on with the properties in your portfolio and the deals you're underwriting in Arizona right now?
Yes and no. I understand this happened in any industry. There's always an up and down. And if we be able to do our due diligence correctly and then underwrite conservatively and not forcing any deal to pencil, it's not quantity, but quality. That will save us a lot of headache during this time. And diversify. I'm from fund manager, so my pet peeve about mitigating risk is diversification. Yeah, multifamily and real estate is the biggest asset appreciation, great asset, multi-generational wealth and stuff like that. But diversify, you guys. Whoever doing all that will survive. And everybody can make a deal money, tons of money 2 years ago. But can they survive now? Just the market 2 years ago was really good. Now it's just the cream of the crop, the one who survived. But do we don't see any deal and stop buying? No, this is absolutely the right time to buy. So I have a mixed feeling about having to say, hold your breath until 2025, because you're supposed to be active and keep looking. I'm not going to sit in the last sideline and add there, other than anybody else. You also probably actively looking because it's just a great market to look and buy. It just needs to be the right one.
Yeah, that makes sense. To your point, Best Ever Conference 2022, which was in March of 22, the whole conference felt like a party. First of all, attendance absolutely exploded. Way more people than even the conference staff were anticipating. They had to add overflow seating and overflow space because commercial real estate felt like a party at the beginning of 2022. And then you get to the beginning of 2023, and everyone is saying survive until 25. Interest rates are going through the roof. Expense growth is way outpacing revenue growth. I'm interested to see what the conference feels like this year in April. It's a beneficial opportunity for me, a couple of things. I've said this before. Most of my really good conversations at the conference in Denver and now in Salt Lake City have been with other apartment investors in Cincinnati, in part because a conference like that is just the time that we're all blocking in our calendars to have those kinds of high-level conversations with the kind of people we need to be having high-level conversations with. But it's also an opportunity to stick my head up out of the Cincinnati sandbox and see what's happening in the rest of the country. Get a feel for investor sentiment. What kinds of strategies are working in other parts of the country? What does that tell me about continuing to invest in Cincinnati? It's been a beneficial opportunity for me to meet people like you, Linda, who are focused on markets that are very different from my own. Places like the markets where you invest in Arizona. So Best Ever listeners, yes, shameless plug. Also, genuinely, I hope I get to see you there. They're on pace to have around 1,000 tickets purchased. So that's the expectation, is you're going to have around 1,000 commercial real estate investors from all over the country there. Just got that number this morning. Linda, continuing to look ahead, I'm not going to ask you to pull out your magic eight ball or anything like that, but with your continued underwriting of deals primarily in Arizona and with investor sentiment being a lot more cautious than it was in the past, I don't necessarily want to ask when things will change, but I'm wondering if you've been able to identify some key factors or some key indicators that we are going to see a shift in where we are in the market cycle.
I think it's going to be end of 2024 or beginning of 2025, like we're anticipating. You can see it right now. It's shift a little bit.
Okay. So Linda, I want to be able to say I called it, and I called it because Linda told me how to identify it. What are the things that you expect could happen between now and the end of this year that would lead to that market shift?
I think it's interest rate. We all know that interest rate is going to be one of the key. Since I'm underwriting, and also when you underwrite, you communicate with lenders all the time, consistently. You kind of see that from, they say that LTV or LTC, because I'm building to, is 65%. Now I can see this shifting to like 70%, 75%. So I think the market start to have confidence again, like silver lining, so to speak, so they'd be able to increase the risk a little bit from the lender. They offer me all kinds of stuff before and then now change. And that's when I know that we getting there as far as market shift. And I think by the end of the year or beginning of next year, we will see a lot better. Do we gonna see rate as low as 2-3? Maybe not. However, it's gonna be more stable in a reasonable way.
That makes a lot of sense. Linda, are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yes.
What is the best ever book you recently read?
The Go-Giver by Bob Burke. That was the last one that I read. And I think it's go hand in hand with the previous book that I also read, Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. So The Go-Giver is, you do more. If we apply it to investor relationship and all that, just do more. Do more, explain more, go outside your comfort zone, go more than what they expected. And I think that go a long way. If I have to pick and choose what is the application from that book to our situation right now.
Nice. Linda, what is your best ever way to give back?
I'm very big in education, and I think been a few years building orphanage or learning center in places that need it. I think the best ever way to give back is through providing and supporting education and financial literacy to children and young adults. Be lacking on that. It doesn't matter where you live, and then we have to start with the new generation if we want to change the world.
Linda, on the deals that you have acquired, what is the biggest mistake you've made and the best ever lesson you learned from it?
I think team has to come first before the deal. My mistake before, you're just chasing a good deal. When you say chasing a good deal and you're trying everything to do it yourself and all that. And that, I think, my biggest mistake that if I look back, that was a hard way to succeed. Doing everything yourself and then try to find the best deal ever. And I learned that having a team or finding the team first, finding a good partner first is more important than the deal. Bad deal, I always tell my investor, bad deal can go good and good deal can go bad. It really depends on the people who manage it or to make it on the other end. So people is important, team is important, finding a good partner is more important. If you find a good partner, hang on to it and try to nurture the relationship, because that's rare. Having a partner that complement your skill and have the same work ethic and principle and integrity, that's more important than chasing a good deal. That was my lesson learned, and I think I apply it pretty much. The saving grace for me in a lot of my deals.
Linda, on that note, what is your best ever advice?
No need to worry and no need to rush about anything. No need to force a deal. When the deal is good, when it meant to be, everything will pencil out. And when I underwrite, I never really force things to make sense. When it's good, it will make sense on its own. And especially in today's market, don't go with the shiny object syndrome, which is, oh, I need to get that, I need to get that. And it feels behind when people are closing deals and things like that. When you try everything and it's not good, then you have to learn to let go and then wait for the next one.
Last question, where can people get in touch with you?
Through my website, essentialelementcapital.com. And it has all my contacts there, email, phone number, and also set up the time if we need to chat and get to know each other.
Great. And that link is in the show notes. Linda, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. If you've gained value from this episode, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to through our conversation today. Thank you and have a best ever day.
Thank you, Slocum, for having me. See you at the conference.
Yeah, see you there.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access and you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.